Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, Sales Success Coach. Now they call me the Queen of Predictable Sales Results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process, known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even including having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. And for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to inspire people and guide them into bringing forth and fully living their larger story and tap into all the unseen possibilities and hidden talents so they can fully step into their greatness. So I am super excited to introduce Theodosia Southern. Now, Theodosia is the founder and managing principal of the Center for Executive Leadership. She's a leadership trainer and executive coach, team facilitator, and change catalyst, helping her clients break through self-limiting beliefs and behaviors, get out of their own way to greatness, redefine what is possible, and then bring their vision to life through small changes that make a big difference. She helps entrepreneurs, leaders, and their companies unlock their inherent wisdom and talent so they can handle complex challenges and navigate volatility and uncertainty masterfully with courage and grace under fire. Now, for over 22 years, Theodosia has supported leaders in healthcare, hospitality, service, media, and high-tech industries to create a thriving future for themselves and their organizations in the US and in Europe. Theodosia's ultra-practical approach draws from neuroscience, neuro-linguistic programming, cognitive science, chaos theory, living systems theory, systems thinking, and mythic mapping. Born and raised in Greece, Theodosia has been immersed in the transformational power of archetypal stories and myth and the ancient traditions of the world since childhood. Now, in addition to her coaching, Theodosia facilitates soul healing journeys to Greece and has studied shamanic healing practices with the Cairo shamans of Peru and the shamans of the Amazon. And she currently lives in Boulder, Colorado with her family and loves dancing, hiking, and swimming. Well, welcome, Theodosia. I am so excited to have you as our guest today.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you so much for the invitation. I am so deeply honored and excited to be here with you. And I hope that we can create something fun and deeply inspiring for your audience today, for our audience.
Yeah, fantastic. I love that. And I just, you know, I just love how you're providing such important coaching, helping people become better leaders through really what sounds like ultra practical and scientific methods. I can't wait to hear more about this, as well as the soul healing work that you're doing in Greece.
I can't wait to share that either.
Fantastic. Well, top of my list here is exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to become a business leadership coach and change catalyst?
Well, we all have our story, right? The narrative of our life. And well, I didn't start as a self-employed person, as an entrepreneur, but I've always craved freedom. I've always wanted to work for myself. I've always wanted to be in charge of my time and my life. And I actually started as a mathematician. My first degree is in applied mathematics and statistics. So I have a nerd in me. It's hard for people to see, but I do. I have a scientist in me, and I've always wanted to bridge science and neuroscience and spirituality together and bring it into organizations and corporate leadership or and any other kind of leadership playground, if you like.
That is fantastic. I just love the diversity. I've got to ask you, you've been supporting business leaders for what, 22 years now, which is really impressive. Has your mission or business vision evolved over those years? Tapping into your mathematician and statistical background, I can't wait to hear how things have evolved.
Well, having a science background really helped me connect all kinds of leaders because I have a very strong left brain, but also right brain as well. So I love innovation. I love creativity. And bridging the two was so wonderful. So I come from a very regimented sort of family structure. My father was in the military. So the first obstacle that I encountered on my path to freedom, if you like, and really stepping into the passion of my life, because I feel deeply blessed that my work is my vocation, is what I love doing, what makes me happy and fulfilled. And that's a blessing. So I had to overcome quite a bit of obstacles in terms of family culture, get a safe job, you have great education, you can get a great job with great paying, but structure, especially regimented structure, was never something that I craved. I wanted freedom. I wanted to be the master of my time and my life. I wanted to follow my own bliss, as Joseph Campbell says in his famous book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. Mm. So I studied management, hospitality management and management. And then I moved to London, where I was in a leadership position managing 30 plus people. So I had to learn about leadership through experience and through the line of fire. Lots of ups and downs, but I learned a lot. I use all this knowledge and experience now in my coaching. So before becoming a coach, I was on the other side, if you like, of the river.
And it sounds like that was something that you weren't necessarily gearing up for. You were this mathematician, a statistician, a scientist, and then here you land in this leadership role. So you must have been demonstrating some innate skills there.
Actually, since childhood, sometimes we have a strong inclination or, you know, a talent or a passion. And then because of cultural beliefs or parental beliefs or you name it, we don't really believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. So since I was in junior high, actually, I was put in leadership positions without pursuing it, without actually going for it, right? So there were my teachers, I guess, saw in me things that I couldn't even acknowledge in myself. And I remember at age 14, I was voted like the president of my class. And I dashed out of the classroom crying because I didn't want to be a leader. Oh. I didn't want to be in charge. It's like, why are you voting for me? In Greece at the time, you didn't have to put forth a candidacy. Anyone could vote for anyone in the class. And my teacher...
voting for you and you were in shock, it sounds like.
I was, and I couldn't believe, like, why did people vote for me? I knew that I was kind of popular, but without trying to be. So one of my teachers and a great mentor said, hey, people believe in you. I believe in you. Do you want to give it a try for a few months? And if it doesn't fit with you, then you can step down. But do yourself a favor and truly own it. Hmm. Own what other people see in you. And that has been such a huge lesson.
Yeah.
How many times people see our talents, our uniqueness, our magnificence, and we cannot own it for ourselves. We say, oh no, that's not it. Or we find excuses about our great skills, our greatness.
Right.
And we shrink ourselves and we fret and we stress and worry. And we don't really acknowledge our wisdom, our greatness, our uniqueness, and especially in entrepreneurship and leadership. How can you help others and support others and inspire others if you cannot do it for yourself? It just doesn't work this way.
Right. Oh, that is very powerful. Very powerful. Well, it sounds like you have really been able to tap into that greatness and move in a very specific way with your coaching practice. But have there been any big roadblocks you've had to overcome along the way?
Well, one was the family belief that I should go for something safe. And I was never one for safety. I was one for following my bliss. At age 14 was a very pivotal age for me, really remarkable. I read Joseph Campbell's A Hero with a Thousand Faces, and also Homer's The Odyssey, right? Huge archetypal stories. And since then, I've been on a hero's journey following my bliss. And here's what drives me, and I hope that resonates with our audience here. I don't want to have any regrets when I am an elderly person. There are so many studies that 95% of the people who have regrets about their lives, they have regrets because they did not try something. They did not risk something they really wanted and yearned for, right? Mm-hmm. So in following our bliss, I truly hope everyone will fast forward towards the end of their lives and say, hey, what is it that I want to have done, to have fulfilled, to feel happy and fulfilled towards the end? And it doesn't matter whether people achieve or not, but what matters is that they tried. That's what everyone who had deep regrets about their life, you know, towards the end of it said, that I didn't try, I didn't take the risk to honor my own soul, my own desire. So I want here to applaud and hats off to the audience. I know most of them are entrepreneurs and coaches, right? And people who help others, right? In one way or another, applaud them for following their bliss and doing what resonates with them and speaks to their soul.
Wow. Yeah. 95%. That is a huge percentage of people that end with regrets of things that they wish they did or tried, or that is huge.
Well, let me clarify. 95% of the people who were asked, who had regrets, right? So this is the population is people who had regrets. 95% said that they regret not doing something, right? Right. Rather than other things. So yes, it is, because, you know, in trying to play safe, sometimes play it safe, we shrink ourselves, we shrink our soul, we shrink our greatness, and then we end up not happy with ourselves.
And like you said, not stepping into your greatness, which is your work. That is the work you are doing. So that's fantastic. Well, talking about the structure that was the expectation presented to you, you know, be a certain way or operate within these boundaries. How did you overcome that expectation? Were you looked upon as a rebel? Did your family finally accept your new role with your senior success?
Great question. Actually, I saw what others saw in me, and I thought I'd give it a try. So I took on the leadership position at 14, and I actually did very well. I loved working with others, engaging with others, co-creating with others. So because I did not shy away, I gave myself an opportunity to tap into a hidden talent that I had, hidden at that time. And I enjoyed it and I loved it. So that put me on a path to leadership. And I've had many leadership positions since then, even in college. I enjoyed it, and it was the co-creating part, right? The co-creating part and zeroing in and focusing on other people's greatness. See, when we meet someone, including ourselves, if we focus on what makes me unique? What makes me great? What do I want to focus on every day that fills my soul? Mm-hmm. And the parts that I don't like focusing as much, find other people to work with and delegate, right? I mean, we all have the parts of ourselves that we do not enjoy as much. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy like the logistics part and, you know, the invoicing, but I have a fabulous assistant who takes care of that, fabulous, manager. So, but it's important to look at so one of the processes that I use with clients, and at the time I used with myself, I was not aware of, was looking at what I believe about myself. What beliefs do I hold that are limiting my creation and are limiting my fulfillment and limiting my success? And here's a tool that I hope it's useful for whoever is listening to us right now, because our identity, who we are, is a belief, right? So if I believe I am a creative person, guess what? I will engage in more creative pursuits. Right. So it's time we use the words I am. Make sure you have something positive next to it. Do yourselves a favor and never use any negative connotation after I am, right? I am creative. I am collaborative. whatever we use as part of NLP or neurolinguistic programming is that whatever we attach to I am, if it's negative, goes into our unconscious mind, our subconscious mind. About 80% or more of our thinking is subconscious patterns, right? Mm-hmm. So when we use I am, make sure we have something positive or not use I am at all. Yeah. Right?
No, that's great. That is great. I've heard I am is the engine.
It is. It is. And it changes our inner story, right? So I'm not saying just to go into hoopla and say, oh, everything's going to be fine. No, but if we're going to use I am, let's use it only with positive expressions. And also when we communicate with others, to do the same. Like if I say, Wendy, you are a deeply inspiring sales coach, right? So mm-hmm. it's the same for others because that helps us engage authentically with another person and also acknowledging the other person's greatness while we're acknowledging ours as well. Can I say something more here? Because our actions are dictated by our beliefs, right? What we do is dictated not only by our thoughts, but what we believe about ourselves and about our work and the world. So it's good to always examine our assumptions because that's what dictates results, not right. our actions. Our beliefs, they are the hidden saboteur, right? So we want to be aware and neutralize it.
Right. Yeah. It's the chain reaction. It's one thing leads directly to the next and that's what creates the result. So yeah, that's powerful. I love that. Well, speaking of results and providing the information to help others, obviously you're an expert at helping people become better leaders, but curiously, how do you feel about the sales role of being in business? Is this one of those components that you don't like, or do you feel that your innate leadership skills come into play in this role as well?
I am definitely not an expert at sales and selling. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably a 3 or a 4. But here's what I do. And especially when it comes to online, marketing and all that, I love sharing stories. I love sharing tools. I love asking questions. So far I've been blessed because my business is through word of mouth primarily, right? So clients refer me to other clients. But now with COVID and more online presence, I have a learning curve, and I'm hoping that you can help me with it, actually, a little bit, being an expert at this.
I would love to give it my best shot.
Okay.
I'm rubbing my hands together here, Theodosia. What can I help you with?
So in terms, if I were to implement one new thing about online presence and marketing, because, you know, I'm a storyteller. If you ask me to tell stories, I'll tell stories until the end of the day. But that's not how online marketing works. So what would be one thing that would strengthen my truth and my presence online?
The one thing is to zero in on who your ideal client is, your avatar. Specifically, what are the top of mind challenges for them in their own mind? That, you know, I'm talking about what are their biggest struggles that they're, when they go home after work and they're talking with their significant other, they're ranting about, or they're tossing and turning at night, trying to get to sleep, and this is running in their heads. What are those elements that your coaching work or your online program, online course is going to solve? Mm-hmm. And in your online sales message or marketing, then you would speak to those top of mind challenges in a way that they can really relate to, that really resonates with them. And then you position the outcome of your course as being the solution, or the outcome of, you know, whatever the next easy step, attending your webinar, jumping on a discovery call with you, or whatever your next step process is, as a way to solve that and really connect with people.
Thank you, Wendy. This is really helpful. And I guess I have to create a new narrative for my online presence, which is not as strong now. And I really believe that for two people or more, because I work with groups and teams as well, right? There has to be a good fit. And I don't believe that everyone is a good fit with everyone else.
Right.
So hence the significance of the narrative and, mm-hmm.
right.
and the story.
You're sharing really the essence of who you are, what your passion is, and what your expertise is. So there are really certain elements that need to, or certain components that need to occur. And one is, of course, for people to want to purchase your course, they need to know, well, what is your philosophy? Who are you? What are you all about? What do you represent? And make sure that they feel an alignment there. In addition to the expertise, you can say, yeah, for 22 years and this and that, and I've got this degree and that degree. But the essence of it is, do you understand, you know, your prospective clients are going to be thinking to themselves, do you understand me? Do you get what my problem is? Can you help me achieve this outcome that I really want?
Funny you said that, because the primary sales process, and I don't call it sales process, but when I meet with prospective clients, is asking tons of questions. I just want to find out how they're thinking, what's the current story that they're living, what's the greater story that they can step into that they may not even be aware of, what kind of actions and beliefs will support this greater story, because the final goal is not just success, it's fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. Fulfillment, feeling happy, not at the end of our journey in this lifetime, but happy at the end of every day. That's the goal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because in obviously the online presence, you don't have the luxury of having that
Q&A
conversation, but you can still list those questions and just list them. Are you frustrated at the end of the day, feeling like you were meant for more, but struggling with how? And you kind of run through a series of short questions. You feel your ideal client would be saying, yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's me.
You're absolutely right. Yes, because I believe in authentic messaging, as you believe in that as well.
That allows your prospective client to really say, boy, she is speaking right to me, even though you can't have the luxury of a conversation if you're driving this direct to sale of your course. Now, if you're driving this to a conversation, then there you go. That's different. So, well, anyway, hopefully that has helped move the needle a little bit for your sales conversation. It's kind of teetering over into marketing, but it's still a sales message.
Thank you, Wendy. Very useful. Thank you.
Good. Well, I'm curious, Theodosia, we are in the midst of this huge worldwide pandemic, and it is impacting so many aspects of our lives. Does this work that you're doing, has this been impacted by the COVID pandemic?
Oh, it definitely has. Yes. I'm not traveling now. I used to travel so much. No, I'm not complaining about it. Which is great to not have to pack a suitcase, you know, every other week, which is good. I can still connect to my clients, obviously, and with my clients through technology. Thank God for technology.
Right.
But I miss sometimes the in-person interactive part. We're just trying to recreate it, you know, put on our creativity cap and find new ways of connecting online. So, you know, within every challenge, there's an opportunity to show up more, to come up with new ways of expressing ourselves and connecting with our clients. So that's what we're doing. It's a little bit more challenging when I have to do group work. Like I have a group of 30 people that I work with, 30 leaders. Mm-hmm. So that takes a little bit more orchestration, if you like, but it's fine. We're getting there. If I may say, what I did through since age 14 all the way to today is I've been changing my inner story to fit my truth. You know, I cannot lead and guide anyone to step into their greatness if I don't honor myself first in the same way.
Yep.
And part of the hero's journey is meeting the dragon and then not killing the dragon, which is our problems, challenges, but outsmarting, outmaneuvering the dragon, right? Making the dragon an ally, a trusted ally. So I've been doing that for myself for many years, and I love doing it for my clients as well, because anything that we perceive as an obstacle, we can turn it around into an opportunity. So instead of having the wind against us, we can have the wind in our sails. I'm working with these principles. So yes, COVID had many challenges, but we're working with that. Something that I want to highlight is that most of my clients shifted the narrative, if you like, because other than goals, something that came up into the picture was managing emotions themselves and their teams, right? Most of my clients have teams, they work smaller, larger teams, and they had to manage the teams, the emotions of the teams. Working remotely for a lot of people was not their choice, right? Yep. So learning how to really manage your own emotions as a leader and then help your team to do the same and engage or re-engage and re-inspire them. That was a big part of my work during COVID. Still is.
Yeah, I can imagine that that was a big component, re-inspiring, as everybody is now working in their own home-based office, which might be kind of chaotic. I can only imagine, you know, people that aren't used to working home-based in a home office suddenly, and the children are at home as well.
A lot of us have, right?
Right.
So that's what we need to, you know, to build the resilience muscle and do it in community, do it with each other. We don't want to be lone rangers, right? So it's like shifting this mentality and say, okay, who can I reach out to if I need support? Or who needs support that I can reach out and offer it to them? Some of the entrepreneurs that I work with were sort of lone ranger mentality, right. Like, oh, I'm going to figure it out by myself. No, we, there are resources in the system that we can tap into. So it's good to reach out and get the resources you need to make things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know that you've been referencing, you work one-on-one, you also work with groups or teams. Mm-hmm. And obviously during COVID, you're not traveling out and working in person, you're working remotely, but are there any other elements that you can share, not only about possibly the scientific practical approaches that you take in working with people to uplevel their leadership skills? I'm also curious if you would rather weave in a little bit about your journeys to Greece and the work that you do there with your transformational work. So either direction, I'd love to just hear a little bit more about either one.
Or we can do both. So in terms of the leadership work that I do and helping people step into their greatness and express their truth in actionable ways, it is ultra practical because I love bringing dreams and visions to the ground level, right? So it is about working on the client's identity. Who am I? How do we expand the identity? Because most of us start working when we want to achieve a goal at the behavioral level, actions level. What do I have to do to make it happen? Well, if we work at the behaviors and actions level, but we're coming from the same consciousness and identity with the same limiting beliefs, we're not going that far. We're going to drop the ball somewhere, right? So we're starting narrow and we need to go up and see, okay, how am I showing up for my work, for my leadership, for my team? Am I showing up as an inspiring, centered, fully present entrepreneur or leader, or for my clients, how am I showing up? So it's an identity, looking at this and then going down to beliefs. So which of my beliefs support this identity that I want to show up into? It's part of my truth. And which beliefs take away from it, right? Mm-hmm. So from identity, we move to beliefs. And from beliefs, we go down to capabilities and skill sets and talents and qualities. So which capabilities do I have to grow more? What hidden capabilities have I not been using because I thought, oh, they don't comply with what I do? For example, I work in a lot of corporate environments and I do soul healing journeys in Greece. So sometimes we don't accept all our fullness and greatness, right? Yep. We want to box ourselves in into one kind of identity, and that takes away from happiness and fulfillment and, of course, results, right? And so it's identity, beliefs, capabilities, skills, and then we go down which behaviors and actions will enforce and support the identity and how I want to show up for my clients. And we focus on that and then to the environment. So we start from the big picture and then we're going down. We'll start from
that's great. Yeah, that makes total sense when you say it that way.
It is a beautiful framework from NLP, but neuroscience uses something similar as well. I love neuroscience, my hobby. As I said, I have a nerd in me.
The science, right?
Yes. In terms of the soul healing journeys to Greece, Greece is a mythic place. It's a beautiful country, but also great beaches, mountains. It has a lot of mythological places, a lot of ancient temples. So I started in 2015 taking groups to Greece, small groups. Mm-hmm. Because as we traverse the mythological landscape, whether it's the temple of Zeus or goddess Athena, or we go to Crete and the shrines, we traverse our own inner landscape. We're going into a hero's journey. We're looking at what's our calling, our greater calling. You know, we may even be on our path of our calling, but what's our greater calling? How else do I have to to grow myself, rescale myself, and expand myself to fit all the fullness of me, mm-hmm. the whole of who we are. And then, because it really makes a difference, and we had enough feedback from the groups that we took there, it does something for them to be in a beautiful landscape. And the myth and the stories are alive in Greece. When I was a child, I was playing in the ancient agora of my hometown of Thessaloniki. We were playing catch there. You know, it was open, was not fenced. So it's very alive in Greece. And it's great to traverse your inner landscape and say, okay, what's my hero's journey? What are my inner dragons? And really outsmart and befriend our inner dragons in community, in a group. We have a lot of fun games, community games and exercise. It's a fun journey.
It sounds like it's really dynamic and inspirational because of the not only the landscape, but the, like you said, the mythology and all that that area has to offer.
Absolutely. So that's what we wanted, to be fun, to be joyful. I truly believe in joy and how we can uplift ourselves. If we are to do something, how would it be different if we do it coming from a place of peace and joy rather than stress and anxiety? The exact same action. If we are to reflect for a moment, I'm going to engage in meeting a new client. How would I show up differently if I come from a place of neutrality and peace, or a place of uplifting, feeling good about myself rather than stressed about, oh, how can I make this person my client? See how different it is. The same action translates so differently.
Wow. Yeah. That's your work is just so revolutionary in my mind because of the different perspective that you provide and just the techniques that allow somebody to really shed, in my mind, this limiting skin, if that's too graphic, sorry, but
no. I love
mythology
it.
Here, and maybe the serpents, I don't know, brought that out of me, but yes. The work that you're doing is soul healing really does support your leadership work. That's what I found just really intriguing by
it does. It does.
Describing this. So, well, fantastic. Well, how can listeners who are interested in learning more about working with you reach you?
So my website in terms of leadership and coaching is centerforexecutiveleadership.com. Okay. centerforexecutiveleadership.com, and maybe when you can put it in the feed for the podcast, and you can reach me at theodosia@centerforexecutiveleadership.com. I know this is a mouthful, that's why I'm suggesting you have it in writing.
Right.
Or an easier email for me would be theodosia.southern@gmail.com, which is my first dot last name at gmail.com. Theodosia is Theodosia, theodosia.southern@gmail.com. And for my soul healing journeys to Greece is sacredspringjourneys.com, like sacredspringjourneys.com altogether.
Okay.
And they can email me at sacredspringjourneys@gmail.com as well.
And it's journeys is plural, right? Sacred Spring Journeys.
Yes, plural. Plural.
Yes. All right, fantastic. So that's centerforexecutiveleadership.com for leadership coaching, or the soul healing work is sacredspringjourneys.com.
And it's best to use my, my email and email me, because otherwise it'll go to some other, it'll reach me, but it's going to take some time. I would like to offer 3 sessions, actually, of if any of your audience, the first 3 people would like to take advantage of tapping into their greater story, stepping into their greater story.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's 45 minutes to an hour each, so they can email me directly or they can let you know. But I'd love to offer that to the audience.
Fantastic. How generous. So these are 3 Discover Your Greater Story sessions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're offering to the listeners. Wow, that is fantastic. I love that. Okay, so reach out to Theodosia at centerforexecutiveleadership.com. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Theodosia, you have already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom. It's just been so wonderful to hear you express a lot of your expertise here. But if I could tap on you one last time during our interview, in looking at your own experience in building your coaching practice, and even through your own leadership training and, experience there, what's some advice that you can share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's questioning their decision to have started their own business? You know, maybe they're doubting their ability to succeed. And I know this is right up your alley, and you've already shared some nuggets of wisdom here, but is there any bow that you can put on this package?
Yes. And I think it's a pretty one. We all have our own inherent success blueprint. We all have it inside. Unfortunately for most of us is we aren't aware of it, right? So go back into your life. Look at two or three successes, accomplishments in your life, whether it's work-related or personal life-related, relationship-related, and how you made it happen. And look at the actions that you took and the thinking that you had at the time and the beliefs that you held as true that helped you achieve this success. You have a success blueprint. It's in you. Your job is to pull it out, bring it to light. And if you have a hard time, call me, email me, and I'll help you get it.
Okay.
Because it's in there. You don't have to look to other experts for your inherent success blueprint. We all have it.
I love that. And on some situations, I feel like, oh, that is gone. It evaded me. But the way you present it is, it's still there. It's within each of us.
It's intelligence that we don't utilize. And it's so unfortunate because when we have a setback, we always stop and go, oh, what have I done to not succeed here? But we never stop when we have a success, an accomplishment, and say, hey, wait a minute, let's take a step back. How did I make it happen? What actions did I take? What beliefs did I use? What assumptions did I make? Who did I reach out to? What thinking did I employ in this situation? This is yours. For anyone who is listening to us, this is yours. You own it. You've done it. Glean your success pattern. You have it, use it. Once you know it, you can use it.
Wow, that's great. I love that. So powerful and inspirational. That's just fantastic. Well, Theodosia, it has been so great getting to hear about your journey from a mathematician and scientist to the work you're now doing as a change catalyst, really a leadership trainer, an executive coach, and a team facilitator. All such powerful work that helps people break through their limiting beliefs so that they can really achieve their full greatness. I've just really enjoyed our conversation, and it's been just so great to have you as our guest today.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I really enjoyed it too. I hope our audience has enjoyed it as well, got some value out of it.
Absolutely.
And thank you for the great work you're doing and really teaching us all how to overcome any limiting beliefs about sales.
Well, that's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, please reach out to Theodosia at theodosia@centerforexecutiveleadership.com and ask for one of those Discover Your Greater Story sessions. That sounds like it's very valuable. Also, go to her website, centerforexecutiveleadership.com or the sacredspringjourneys.com. website for more information on her Greece soul wellness tours. So, all right. Well, Theodosia, it has been just so great. And thank you again. Appreciate your time on our show today. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Or are you shrugging off the lost sales by saying, yeah, they just weren't my ideal client? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right, well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Theodosia Southern. And as always, here's to your success.